This is live courtroom coverage of the trial of Lindsay Clancy from the Hitting Tillers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Good morning.
All right.
Thank you. Good morning. Can you please state and spell your name for the record?
Daniel Daugherty, D-O-U-G-H-E-R-T-Y.
And your date of birth?
8/27/1986.
Where do you work?
Duxbury Fire Department.
How long have you been with the Duxbury Fire Department?
5.5 years, full time.
Are you also a paramedic?
Yes.
And how long have you been a paramedic?
4 years.
And have you completed all the training and education and certification required to be a paramedic?
Yes.
I want to direct your attention to January 24th, 2023. Were you working that day?
I was.
And were you working a 24-hour shift?
Yes.
What was your role that day on shift?
Firefighter, paramedic.
And sometime after 6 p.m., did you respond to 47 Summer Street in Duxbury?
Yes.
And when you responded, who was with you?
Firefighter Heath was driving and Firefighter Nudd was in the back.
And so you're in Ambulance 1 at that time?
Mm-hmm.
Said yes?
Yes.
And when you arrive at 47 Summer Street, what do you see?
There's two police cruisers either blocking the driveway or near it. So we pulled ahead of it, stopped the truck, and got out.
And did you head to get equipment and head to the backyard?
Yes.
And what did you see in the backyard?
We had Officer Hall kind of directing us towards the side of the or to the side gate. And from there, we went around to the back of the house.
And did you see a female on the ground?
We did.
And did you learn that was Lindsay Clancy?
Yes.
Do you recall what she was wearing?
I believe it was jeans and a tank top.
Did she also have socks on?
I believe so.
And did you examine her or assess her once you reached her?
Yes.
And what, if any, injuries did you observe?
She had lacerations to both wrists as well as her neck.
And were those lacerations actively bleeding?
No.
Can you describe the lacerations that you saw on her neck?
There was dried blood, seemed to be somewhat superficial since there was no active bleed.
And what about the cuts on her wrists?
Same.
And when you say same, are you saying that there was no active bleeding there?
Correct.
Okay. And what, if anything, did you do to treat those wounds?
We bandaged them up. I believe we placed an ABD pad, just a sterile pad, on her neck as well.
You said an APD or a sterile pad. Is that just a type of, like, gauze or
yes.
something that you put on the
yes.
wound?
Yes.
Okay. And so you did that, and then you bandaged the wrists, or vice versa?
It was the wrist first, I believe. But we did secure the airway first before bandaging her wrist.
Okay. So when you first arrive, is she breathing on her own?
She was.
Was she responsive?
Somewhat.
What does that mean?
Not totally responsive. Pretty much the painful stimuli.
And what is painful stimuli?
As we were moving her, she somewhat regained consciousness on us.
And painful stimuli, is that is that when someone reacts physically or verbally to pain?
Yes.
And you said that you assess her when you first get there. You said you did the airway first, is that right?
Yes.
And how did you go about doing that?
We placed an OPA device to secure her tongue down, just to protect her airway.
What's an OPA device?
It's a plastic device that depresses the tongue just to keep the airway open.
Okay, so it's not the tube that goes down?
No.
It's just something that holds the tongue down?
That's correct.
Okay. And after you did that, what was the next step?
We placed a non-rebreather air mask on her and set the oxygen.
So is that just a mask that goes on the face providing oxygen?
Yes.
And then what did you do next?
From there, that's when we heard the scream.
And so what? Did you bandage the neck and the wrist before the breathing, securing the breathing, or after?
That was after.
Okay, so just to be clear, first is securing the tongue down, putting the oxygen mask on, and then you did the bandaging?
That came later, yes.
Later, okay. So was the bandaging before or after you heard the screams?
That was after.
Okay. So when you hear the screaming, what, if anything, do you do?
I looked at Captain Hussey and Firefighter Heath, and we kind of all looked at each other, trying to figure out what was going on.
Okay. And did any of you leave the area after hearing the screaming?
Captain Hussey did. Firefighter Heath went to go get a backboard for the patient.
Okay. And did you stay with Lindsay Clancy?
I did.
Okay. And then is it at that point that you do the bandaging or after you get the backboard?
Kevin was gone for a while, so that's when I started bandaging up her wrists.
Okay. And did he eventually return with the backboard?
He did not.
So you bandaged the wrists. What happens next?
I believe it was Officer Hall came to the backyard. He asked if I needed anything. I told him the board, kind of gave him a direction of where in the truck it was. And then he also left to go grab that for me.
And when you say the board, are you referring to the backboard?
Yes.
And did he return with the backboard?
Yes.
And was Miss Clancy loaded onto the backboard?
She was.
And who assisted you with that?
It was Officer Hall, I believe, and our retired deputy.
And is there a process that you follow when placing someone onto a board to ensure that that you don't cause further damage?
Yes.
And what is that process?
Just C-spine precautions. So you secure the neck and kind of make sure that it's immobilized as you kind of move the patient.
So what did you do to secure her neck?
We had someone at her neck. I don't remember who it was. Just kind of hold steady that her neck didn't move in the process.
Okay. And then did you follow that protocol, the C-spine protocol, to safely put her onto the backboard?
Yes.
Okay. And at some point, was a collar placed around her neck?
I believe so, yes.
And then what happened next?
I believe I got on the radio and asked our captain who was transporting first, because we knew that there was multiple patients at that point.
Okay. And what were you told?
Pembroke was on its way in. They may have just arrived, and she was going with Pembroke.
Okay. And were you part of the team that transported her from the backyard to the Pembroke ambulance?
Yes.
And did you help load her into the Pembroke ambulance?
Yes.
And did you go with them during that transport?
I did not.
Okay. After after Ms. Clancy was loaded into the ambulance, did it leave?
Yes.
What did you do next?
I went to our ambulance that was in the driveway at that point.
Okay. And was Dawson Clancy in that ambulance?
He was.
And did you ride in the ambulance to the hospital with Dawson Clancy?
I did.
What was your role in that ambulance?
I was operating the bag valve mask for him.
Okay. So you're trying to provide oxygen to him through the bag valve mask? And was his care then transferred to Beth Israel Deaconess Plymouth medical staff?
Yes.
I have nothing further.
All right. Katrina Rainton. Tell me again, are you an EMT, a paramedic? Or
paramedic.
Paramedic?
Mm-hmm.
And how long do you study for that?
2 years plus.
Would that be full-time studying, or are you working at the same time?
I was working at the same time.
Do you know on that evening what the temperature was outside?
It was cold.
Wicked cold, wasn't it?
Mid-30s.
It was lower than that, wasn't it?
It
was really cold.
Yeah.
And how long was she laying in the snow and on the ground?
We got the call at 6-ish or whatever time it was. We responded.
The call came because her husband came home from picking up food and found her on the ground, right?
Correct.
So you don't know how long she was laying in the snow on the ground, right?
No.
In the cold?
Correct.
And what's hemostasis? Do you know?
What's that?
What's hemostasis? What does that mean?
Just a coagulation.
And do you know what the effect of hypothermia? Let me ask you, what's hypothermia?
It's just the body under the under temperature of the body.
Under temperature of the body?
Or the your body is not at temperature that it should be.
Right, because of the environment, right? Cold, right?
Yes.
Sometimes it can be medically induced, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hypothermia affects the blood flow, doesn't it?
Yes.
In fact, you actually have a thing called therapeutic hypothermia, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like if they have to restrict the blood flow to either a heart or a brain or something, that a person can be induced medically to be cold.
Yes.
And it would restrict blood flow, right?
Mm-hmm.
So all these questions about whether or not there's blood seeping through the wrist bandages and whether or not there's blood through the holes on the neck brace, you don't know what effect the hypothermia, if any, had on that, would you?
No.
Thank you, sir. That's all I have.
Redirect.
Sir, there's typically heat in a hospital, correct?
Usually, yes.
And were you aware that, well, Ms. Clancy went to South Shore Hospital, correct?
Yes.
And are you aware that the wounds on her wrist did not have to be sutured until the following day?
I didn't get any of that information after.
Were you aware that the wound on her neck never had to be sutured?
Same answer.
Thank you.
Anything further? Thank you, sir. I can step down. Thank you.
You may have a seat.
Yes, sir. All right, good morning, sir.
Morning, Your Honor.
Sure.
Good afternoon, sir. Can you please state and spell your name for the record?
Sure. My name is Vincent Cahill. It'll be V-I-N-C-E-N-T. Last name Cahill. That'll be C-A-H-I-L-L.
And your date of birth, please?
11-11-1996.
Where do you work?
I work at the Duxbury Police Department.
How long have you been with the Duxbury Police Department?
About 5.5 years.
I want to direct your attention to January 24th, 2023. Were you working that day?
Yes, ma'am.
Were you on patrol?
Yes.
And directing your attention further to approximately 6:11 p.m., were you dispatched to 47 Summer Street in Duxbury?
Yes, ma'am.
And when you arrived there, well, how long did it take you to get there approximately?
A couple minutes.
And when you arrived there, what did you see?
When I arrived there, I saw a cruiser in the driveway, as well as an ambulance and a fire captain.
And did you head to the backyard?
Yes.
And did you see a woman on the ground there being cared for?
Yes.
And did you later learn that was Lindsay Clancy?
Yes.
At some point, do you hear or did you hear loud screaming?
Yes.
And as a result of that, did you go inside the home?
Yes.
And did you go to the basement area?
Yes.
And when you went down the basement stairs, did you go to the right or the left?
I initially went to the right, and I was following the father.
So as you're going down the stairs, you say the father, is that Patrick Clancy?
Yes.
Do you see him as you're going down the basement stairs?
Yes.
And where is he coming from, and where is he going to?
He's coming from my left, heading to my right.
And what is his demeanor?
He was screaming.
And as you came down the stairs, did he point in a direction?
Yes.
Where did he point to?
To the left side.
And is that where you headed?
Yes.
And when you went to the left, did you see two children on the floor in that area of the basement?
Yes.
And what did you do?
I checked the pulse of the 5-year-old girl and passed that information along. And then when fire came on scene, I then was backing away because fire was going to start taking over, taking care of the 5-year-old girl. I then backed into the infant who was on the ground.
So you said that you checked the 5-year-old. Was that Cora Clancy?
Yes.
You checked her for a pulse. Did she have a pulse?
No.
And you said fire came down and started taking over. Was that firefighters from Duxbury Fire Department?
Yes, ma'am.
And you said you started backing up. Is that when you bumped into Callan Clancy?
Yes, ma'am.
And at that point in time, what did you do next?
I checked Callan's pulse.
And did he have a pulse?
No.
Did firefighters take over care of Callan?
Yes.
At that point, did you do something to make it easier for the people to fit in the room and treat the children?
Yes. I moved a large futon or ottoman, piece of furniture.
And I'm showing you Exhibit 96. Directing your attention to the couch bed and the ottoman on top of it, were you the one that placed that ottoman on top of the couch bed?
Yes, ma'am.
After that, were you asked to help get some equipment for the children?
Yes.
And did you do that?
Yes.
And did you bring the equipment to the basement?
Yes.
And after that, did you assist with getting Cora to the ambulance?
I assisted with rescue breaths with Cora, as well as CPR. I aided with Officer Josephine.
And how were you doing the rescue breaths and the CPR?
I was using a bag valve mask. Myself and Officer Josephine were timing it every couple seconds. It was 15 seconds. I was doing rescue breaths on Cora.
Okay. And at some point, she's taken out of the basement and to an ambulance, correct?
Yes.
Did you assist with that?
I don't recall.
And at any point, did she regain a pulse or ability to breathe while you were helping to assist her? At some point in time, were you given the task of monitoring who came into the scene and who left the scene?
Yes.
Throughout the night?
Yes.
And showing you what's entitled Crime Scene Entry and Exit Log. Is this the form that you were in charge of? You're just documenting every time someone came to the scene or left the scene.
Yes, ma'am.
I could have this marked as the next exhibit, please.
Any objection?
No.
That may be admitted.
I have nothing further. Thank you.
Counsel?
No.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Lisa. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.
More live courtroom coverage of the trial of Lindsay Clancy is on the way. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a moment. From the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.